I'd like for us this morning to focus our thoughts around a single verse of Scripture from Paul's letter to the Galatians, where he says this: "Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." Could we say this together? Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Shall we pray? May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength, our Redeemer. Amen. A woman accompanied her husband to the doctor's office one day. Following his checkup, the doctor called the wife into his office for a private chat. The doctor said, "Your husband is suffering from a very serious disease that's been brought on by some terrible stress. Listen closely," he said. "If you don't very carefully follow my instructions, your husband will surely die." And so the doctor told her exactly what she needed to do for her husband. He said, "Each morning, fix your husband a healthy breakfast. Be extremely pleasant and make sure that he is in a good mood. For lunch, make him a nutritious meal. For dinner, prepare a wonderful meal for him, whatever he wants. Do not burden him with chores, as he's probably had a hard day. Do not discuss your own problems with him, as that will only make his stress worse. And most importantly, when it comes to intimacy, make sure to satisfy his every whim. If you can do this for the next 10 to 12 months, I am totally confident that your husband will regain his health completely." On the way home, the husband turned to his wife and said, "Be completely honest with me. What did the doctor say?" She looked at him and said, "You're going to die." My own wife might give me that answer too. In the scripture lesson, we hear a very important word of instruction from Paul that all of us would do well to hear. What does he say? Bear one another's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens. Carry one another's burdens. I've come to greatly love Paul's letter to the Galatians. It's probably one of his earlier letters, and Paul isn't bashful about speaking his mind in this short epistle. Much of it is aimed at a group of people who've infiltrated the young church at Galatia, which incidentally was located in Asia Minor, modern Turkey. He calls these people agitators, and these agitators told the young, impressionable church that if they wanted to be real Christians, so to speak, then they would also have to submit to the requirements of Jewish law, especially regarding circumcision. You see, these were Gentile Christians who'd never been Jewish, so it came as quite a shock to them. And in very plain language, Paul speaks out against the legalists who are corrupting the gospel that he himself had taught them. And he declares again and again that Christ has set us free from such religious rules and that we are to live at the direction of God's Spirit than be bound by religious law. For freedom, Paul says at the beginning of chapter 5, Christ has set us free. Christ has set us free. However, freedom, the freedom that Christ makes possible in our lives doesn't mean that you do what you want, not at all. A bit later in chapter 5, Paul says, "You were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love, become slaves to one another." Do you hear that? Through love, become slaves, become servants to one another. And continuing, he says, "For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." You see, the freedom we have in Christ is not to indulge or indulge in our own desires or whims. We've been set free for a purpose. We've been set free in order to serve one another. We have been set free in order to love our neighbor as we love our own self. And then finally in chapter 6, Paul gets more specific about what it means to love and serve one another. And that's when he tells the Galatian church to bear one another's burdens. For when we do so, we're not just fulfilling some religious duty or religious obligation. No, he says, we're actually fulfilling the law of Christ. We're doing what Christ himself wants and expects of us. One commentary unpacks this rather well. Listen closely. Paul insists that the church is to be a community in which believers share responsibility for one another's lives. Life in the Spirit is not a life of lonely striving, not a life restricted to a zone of privacy. It is a life lived in community. The church, like an extended family of brothers and sisters, is characterized by the interdependence of its members. Do you hear what that's saying? If we are really a church in the best and proper sense, then we have responsibility for one another. We are to take care of one another. We are to share one another's problems, and we're to help each other get through those tough and challenging times. We are family who rely upon one another. Another way of looking at this is to say there is no room for rugged individualism in the church. There can be no lone ranger Christians. John Wesley himself said, and I quote, "Christianity is essentially a social religion, and to turn it into a solitary one, that is a private one, is to destroy it." You see, my friends, because we belong to Christ, we belong to each other. And if my brother or sister is unable to carry his or her own burden, then I'm called to help that person carry that heavy load, whatever it may be. If a brother or sister is in distress and cannot help himself, herself, then I'm called to aid that person. If a brother or sister is weighed down by worry or grief or discouragement, I am called alongside that person to help him or her walk through that dark valley toward the light of God's love. Bear one another's burdens, Paul says. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ, which is none other than the law of love, self-giving love. The contemporary English version of the Bible expresses Galatians 6:2 in this way. You obey the law of Christ when you offer each other a helping hand. Let me ask you this. Has God placed someone in your life whose burdens are heavily weighing them down, someone who needs your help, your support? Is there maybe somebody God has placed in your mind who needs a word of encouragement or perhaps a helping hand, someone weighed down, maybe by grief, by loneliness, by worry, by depression, by despair? Someone visited me in my office this past week, a member of our church. And in the course of our conversation together, she mentioned a couple of encounters with persons who had great needs that really tugged on her heart. In one instance, she was visiting a family member at a nursing home at dinner time. As she sat in the dining room with this aunt, she noticed a number of the residents who were having difficulty eating their meals, literally getting the food from their plate to their mouths. And she told me how almost automatically, perhaps instinctively, she jumped up and she started helping people eat their food, politely asking if she could help, and each person gladly receiving her assistance as she helped guide the fork or the spoon to their mouth. Now, that image of someone helping another human being in such a simple but important way really stayed with me throughout the week. What a beautiful portrayal of carrying another person's burden, motivated by nothing more, nothing less than compassion, heartfelt compassion for someone else in need. Now, after she shared this story, I reminded her that when we do these kinds of things, and she was literally feeding the hungry, we're doing it to Jesus. You remember Matthew 25, don't you? I said to her, "You saw the face of Jesus in the faces of those helpless nursing home residents." And I reminded her of something that Mother Teresa used to say, that we meet Jesus in the most distressing disguises. Incidentally, Mother Teresa was declared a saint by the Catholic Church this morning. You know what the Pope did? He threw a pizza party for 1,500 homeless people right after the service. I like that Pope. We meet Jesus in the most distressing of disguises. You obey the law of Christ, Paul tells us, when you offer each other a helping hand. To whom do you need to offer a helping hand? Who do you know that's carrying an unbearable burden and needs your help and support? In whose distressing disguise might you also see the face of Christ? I've shared with you several times before my favorite poem written by Emily Dickinson. I first encountered this poem after helping a friend in seminary. She was a sacred music major, lived across the hall from me in the dorm there. She had an important paper due the next day and was very distressed and overwhelmed, trying to get it all together. As you may or may not know, I was a typist extraordinaire. You know, I love to type. That's how boring and dull my life is. But I volunteered to help her by typing her paper. So together we stayed up to the late hours of the night, her writing, me typing, so that she could get the paper turned in on time the next day. The following afternoon in my mailbox, I found a handwritten note from my friend in which she'd copied this poem from Emily Dickinson. If I can stop one heart from breaking, I shall not live in vain. If I can ease one life the aching, or cool one pain, or help one fainting robin unto its nest again, I shall not live in vain. And then at the end of the note, she wrote, Victor, thank you for helping this fainting robin into its nest again. You see, those words express for me so much of what I believe the Christian life is about. Much of what Christ asks of us as we recognize the fundamental truth that we belong to each other. My friends, you obey the law of Christ when you offer each other a helping hand. Who will you help in this new week? Whose burden will you make lighter out of love for Christ? Let us pray. Gracious God, through Christ you've set us free for a clear purpose, to love and serve others. Help us to fulfill the law of Christ by lending a helping hand and helping others to carry burdens that they themselves can no longer carry alone. And as we do so, may we recognize the face of Christ in those we serve. In His name we pray. Amen.